Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Charming, but this is a bridge too far, and it is perpetually funny to me that Barry Bonds, who gave people, despite being not the most pleasant human being in the world, probably gave people the best four-year stretch of offense anyone is ever going to see in the sport, became the poster boy for all that is wrong with this. Like, not Sammy Sosa, a guy who actually hit 60-plus home runs almost exclusively because he was on roids, a good but not great player made better by steroids. It's Barry Bonds, a slam-dunk first-ballot Hall of Famer if he never is connected to PEDs, who has somehow made everybody get, you know, themselves in a tizzy about the morals and everything else. So I'm very glad, because I feel like him getting a statue is a thumb to the eye of sort of the sports-washing establishment.
By the way, I also went back and looked, because we talked about players like David Ortiz who are on the flip side of this. And, you know, David Ortiz, one of my favorite players growing up, but the idea that guys that are nicer to the media, you know, nicer to the fans, whatever, you know, just your jolly happy guys that get better treatment when it comes to the Hall of Fame and such. Ortiz, you know, everybody loved Big Poppy. He did test positive for a banned substance early in his career.
It was a survey test, and it was to get a general – I have it right here. It was to get a general idea of how many people were using PEDs. He was also a name leaked in 2009 with A-Rod and Manny Ramirez, and he did not have anywhere – Manny Ramirez is the best pure right-handed hitter I have seen in my lifetime. A-Rod is up there as an all-time great of the sport. Two of those three people have been more or less pilloried by the game, and one of them is, like, he never even suffered, I think, even a marginal reputational blow.
No, and I would even stand up for guys like A-Rod and Manny, because, I mean, they're two all-time great players. They were fantastic baseball players, but Ortiz, like, got across that line of, hey, you know, everybody loves me, like I'm the fan favorite, and he was a very lovable character. He waltzes right in, zero problem. And he's not the only guy either. Like we mentioned, Piazza. I feel like Pudge Rodriguez is somebody who could probably
Pudge
work his way into this conversation.
Yeah, Pudge is another interesting one, because like in Ortiz's case, I guess the story goes he never got told what he tested positive for in 03, just that he tested positive for something. Bonds, I think it is, he testified that he used PEDs but that he was misled by his trainer. Sosa tested positive in the same thing that Ortiz did, but then said no one knows what he tested positive for. That was the only test he failed. Pudge is another good one. Beloved player, undersized catcher, blood and guts guy, never, never, never gets talked this way. I mean, just, it makes the entire exercise feel unbelievably hollow to me to hate on one or two people, I guess.
The other thing, too, is that you still have to acknowledge that these guys, Bonds, you know, if we're using him specifically here, you have to be at an utterly elite level of hitting the baseball to get to the heights that he did, or else any dude who's juicing could have played baseball and presumably hit 700 home runs. I feel like that's how people sometimes act in this argument. Like, oh, it was just so easy. Bonds just took some steroids and he became a guy that could not stop hitting home runs. Well, then any guy that's at your local gym who juices up should get out on a baseball field right now, because he could do the same thing.
I just think it also, like, the entire discussion and debate, I mean, I don't know where you stand, but I am very much they should all be in. If you think the guy is, like, put up Hall of Fame level numbers, he should be in. Manny Ramirez should be in the Hall of Fame. Barry Bonds. Clemens, who for some reason is almost as dominant as a modern-day pitcher as Bonds was as a hitter, and every bit the jackass that Bonds has the reputation for being, do you feel like he gets mentioned as much? I think it's mainly just because Barry, I think what he did was more spectacular, but Clemens is basically a complete roided-out psycho on the mound. throwing shards of a bat.
He was like the pitching equivalent. Like Bonds reached bigger heights, but Clemens was certainly the like pitcher to his hitter. I always felt that way, at least. Like they were like the poster children when all of this happened.
It is just kind of funny to me that I guess like we have decided within that sport and in that very narrow realm that we're going to invoke a morals clause and suddenly hold very fast to it with these certain players. Like it's the sports betting hour here, the sports book hour at the Rivers Casino, Don. What would you, if you were setting a money line on Bonds getting into the Baseball Hall of Fame while he is alive, what would it be? Plus how much?
Oh, I mean, it would have to be like plus like, I don't know, 20,000 or something.
Yeah, I mean, you could get like, I would probably go as high as plus like 5,000, like 50-1, that you can make $5,000 on a $100 bet if you said yes, he will get in while he's alive. So I think and the other part that gets me that I already brought up, but I'll reiterate it here. No one should be more held in contempt, basically, for what happened with baseball than Bud Selig. Do you agree? Because he ran the sport. He goes, he faces Congress, he does all this stuff, and yet he got treated with total kid gloves. He just completely skated, I think, in the eyes of most of the media on being the guy who oversaw a period in baseball that has been more retroactively analyzed for controversy than any other.
That's what should frustrate the players that were in this era the most. Like, that's what at least would piss me off the most. If I'm Bonds, if I'm Clemens,
he goes in McGuire, 2017 to the Hall of Fame. That guy gets to go into the Hall of Fame while he's in his early 80s and still around. He's still alive, by the way, but you know, he can sit there and appreciate it.
Right, and they're the players that were, you know, behind. Hey, we kind of revived baseball in the late 90s and into the 2000s. Like that was us. We were the guys that. Yeah, maybe there was steroid use involved, and for some of us there's more proof than others. We revived the sport when it was in a pretty bad place, and now, we are just shunned by the baseball gods, but the guy that oversaw all of us, he's clear? That doesn't make any sense.
The guy who oversaw a work stoppage, and it was a player strike. The guy who butchered a player strike that made the sport unpopular coming out of that strike and gave them cause to need something like the home run chase, gets the home run chase, reaps all the benefits, has to deal with none of the blowback. We had Rob Dog tweet in that baseball would not exist in the form it does today without McGuire, Sosa in 98. Not only should they be in the hall, they should have their own wing. I actually agree with the own wing part, but in this sort of different sense. If you are somebody who believes these guys cheated and shouldn't be in, my compromise would be, I don't care. Put them in the Hall of Fame and say, these guys played in the PED era. Now, you'd have to go back and do the amphetamines era and the pre... They do a decent job, I think, of explaining, obviously, that baseball was a segregated sport until Jackie Robinson came along and broke the color barrier. If you want to put them in with their own goofy wing where people can look at an asterisk and all this stuff and say, and a cloud of suspicion hung over these stats because of PED, go ahead. I don't care. I'd much rather see a bust of Barry Bonds and probably of McGuire, who I think he hit that many home runs, he should probably be in. I'd rather see those guys actually in the Hall of Fame, even if you've got some stupid ham-handed reason to try to like differentiate them from everybody else, than have them not be in there in the first place. Anyway, had to get that off my chest. It felt good, Don.
And, it was a good one, Malzy.
City Limits, by the way. City Limits still taking a little bit of abuse in the YouTube comments. I had a great idea, by the way, for tonight. I'll be at the Iron Rock Tap House in Green... I almost said Green Tree. It's in Greensburg from 7 to 9 for our Next Up on the Fan auditions. People have a two-minute bit here. Do your best take. I'll give you the preemptive advice. Give me a take that doesn't suck. Like, don't reiterate stuff to me. Just give me a real opinion. There's a difference between just talking and giving an actual opinion. And I thought, man, would this not be great if somebody just basically took Limits' take on baseball to the extreme and just did like a pro wrestling promo about why we've lost our way in sports and in life in this country, and all we do is reward cheaters, and did this just unbelievably holier-than-thou routine. If somebody came up and did that bit for 2 minutes, I don't know if I would vote them through, Don, but I would absolutely be intrigued, to say the least. But now that somebody, if somebody does it, I'll know they just listen to me, and so maybe don't do that, because then I'll just say, he cribbed what I suggested, and that's probably not very original.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Live from the Rivers Casino Sportsbook, it is the PM team. Chris Muller rolling solo this week. Pony's out on vacation, hopefully enjoying the beach and not glued to his phone. I would assume that he has cured himself of that after jinxing the Paul Skeens-Jacob Mizorowski matchup yesterday by saying that he was plopped in front of his TV ready to watch it. Fan Hotlines presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. It's there that we find USA Today, MLB columnist, Odyssey MLB insider, Bob Nightingale. He was the first one reporting that the Cubs specifically, who are leading the NL Central but are seeing the Brewers creep up, are a team that would love to get their hands on Mitch Keller and David Bednar. Bob, how motivated do you think Ben Cherington is to make any kind of moves sooner rather than later and possibly beat the trade deadline sort of, rush if somebody's willing to make him an offer right now?
Yeah, I think it's a situation where, you know, hey, if they get the offer they want, you know, kind of telling teams, move now. I don't need to wait till July 31st. And, both are under contract for a while, or at least under control for a while. So, yeah, they don't have to move them. So I'm sure they won't, you know, make a deal, you know, unless it's really, you know, unless they think it's advantageous to them. It's not like either one are about to hit free agency.
Bob, how much can Keller actually fetch in return? Like, we all know here in Pittsburgh that this team is obviously a seller. They're one of the handful of definitive sellers in Major League Baseball this year, this far out. We all then want to know, like, well, what can this guy fetch in terms of a team's top prospects? How is he viewed as a trade piece in terms of the return he could bring from any team? Forget about the Cubs necessarily, but just any team overall.
Yeah, I mean, here's a big, durable pitcher. Obviously, has got the run support, and everybody needs quality innings. You know, which he's brought. It'll get rid of the payroll he still has. The base all is left, so if the Pirates want to use that, to go do some other things this winter. He's a guy people like a lot. I'm not saying he's their ace or number two starter, but just a solid middle of the order pitcher that you need if you just want to get into the postseason.
Is that somebody who could fetch a team's top three prospect from another organization, or even a top two guy as the centerpiece of a return for a guy like Mitch Keller?
I would think more, number five to number 10 type prospect, that sort of thing, and another guy, after the top 10 as well. So, it's probably not going to be a top one, two, or three type guy, but a little further down, just because everybody seems so reluctant to, trade away prospects, unless you're the San Diego Padres. They seem to do it all the time. The Padres and their team, I would think, that would be, very interested in someone like, both of them, for that matter.
Bob, I know you wrote this, that don't even bother calling about Paul Skeens. The Pirates aren't interested in selling. Are teams still, even though you're writing that, are teams still, to your knowledge, at least knocking on the door and saying, hey, Ben, you sure you wouldn't want to consider us giving up the farm to get Paul Skeens off your hands? Like, how much, if any, interest has he generated from other teams in terms of actually making serious inquiries of the Pirates?
I think people, when they're talking, kind of like you said, is, you sure you don't want to trade them? Is there anything we can offer? Kind of silly not to least, listen, you're not going to slam the phone down, but it's almost like, remember when the Padres, you know, used to have Tony Gwynn and Trevor Hoppen, Kevin Towers, the GM, you say, hey, you know, we'll listen. I can trade them, but we'll listen. So that sort of thing. But, yeah, they know that they can't trade them a generational talent. And, yeah, you want to build a running arm like that, just like, you know, the Tigers, you know, wanting to win right now, you know, for Tarik Skubal.
USA Today's Bob Nightingale, Odyssey MLB insider as well, joining us right now on the PM team. Bob, looking at some of these other players, because it's obvious that the Pirates are going to sell just about everything that isn't Paul Skeens or maybe O'Neill Cruz is otherwise open for business. Andrew Heaney, Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, Bailey Falter, Ke'Bryan Hayes, Adam Frazier. Are you hearing anything on any of those players as far as an interest level? I'll ask you about Hayes maybe specifically because he was supposed to be a Pirates cornerstone, but the offense has been so bad. Do you get the sense that there are teams interested in him out there given his glove at third base?
No, there's definitely teams interested, particularly the fact that so many teams need third basemen. You just don't have them. And they all, you know, they all believe that, okay, you'll be able to hit, you know, one day, you know, with that defense and stuff, doesn't go away. And, you know, that they can be the team to turn them around. So, no, there's definitely interest in there. A lot of interest in Kiner-Falefa. Everybody seems like they're, you know, needing infielders. He's a viable guy. He's a free agent at the end of the year. So, yeah, he's drawn interest from a number of teams.
Is he somebody that would almost be their then second most valuable trade chip behind Keller, given the level of interest you just said exists?
He could be. You know, Bednar is right there, too, but maybe behind both of them, just because those two guys you have for multiple years under control, where Kiner-Falefa is just this year. But a proven guy, very popular in clubhouses, you know, has been around, not afraid of the big moments. So, certainly, you know, he's plenty of interest, too. But I would think Bednar would have more just because everybody needs a back-end reliever.
Bob, what is the perception around baseball from the people you talk to about the fact that the Pirates are on pace to lose almost 100 games again this year? This is year six, ultimately, of Ben Cherington's tenure. They fired the manager. They fired Derek Shelton almost 2 months ago it is now. And yet Cherington is going to be allowed to handle another trade deadline with the team languishing despite Skeens' presence. Is there surprise around the rest of baseball that Bob Nutting did not clear out the entire front office? How do people view what's going on here in Pittsburgh, broadly speaking?
Yeah, I think people are very curious to see what happens with Ben Cherington at the end of the year. A lot of times the owners will let the GM run the draft and then, you know, and then make a move in September. So, you know, no one quite knows what to make of it, whether he'll still have, you know, a lease through next year or if they pull the plug. So, you know, tough way to know now. But, you know, certainly in the hot seat, you know, and I'm sure Ben Cherington says, well, you know, spend some money and, you know, you'll see a better better offense surrounding this young pitching staff. Because that's been the big problem is that, you know, wait a minute now, is that with this young pitching staff, just get a little offense around it, it can be dangerous. I know a team like the Cubs are talking about that all spring. Like, thank God the Pirates didn't spend money off season because they could be very dangerous with that pitching staff.
Bob, I'll leave you with this one just because this particular player is slumping, and yet when he's on, he even gets guys like Aaron Judge to sort of gawk in awe at what he's capable of. Just the perception around the league of O'Neill Cruz, and do you think a team like the Pirates, if somebody made them the right offer, would listen on Cruz given the level of struggles he's had since basically the start of May?
Yeah, I've heard that they will not. Just there's too much potential there. You know, you look at a guy, you know, like a some of these other young stars, whether it's, you know, Churio of Milwaukee or Rodriguez of Seattle, you know, De La Cruz in Cincinnati, you know, they're capable of being of that ilk. So I don't think they would do that. I think it'd be way too big of a risk. You trade him away and becomes a true superstar. Just, you know, too young of a talent, not making any money. So, I've been told that he's not available.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today and Odyssey MLB Insider. We appreciate your time, Bob. Thank you.
Sure, my pleasure. Take care. Bye.
All right, so a couple things there, man, Donnie. I look at just very quickly, him just saying teams like the Cubs very happy that the Pirates didn't spend more money this offseason because they were worried about what they might have been building with that staff. And then pretty firm, O'Neill Cruz not available. And obviously, Paul Skeens we know not available, but also they're not ready to give up on O'Neill Cruz yet. Not exactly what I would call a shocking story, but it's gotten so bad with Cruz lately, you kind of have to wonder out loud if they might have their minds changing internally. According to the people Bob Nightingale's talking to, that just isn't.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Happening. It is time for the Donnie Debrief. It is, of course, brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company. Over 100 years of baking experience. Donald, it's my pleasure to say, take it away.
The Debrief, June 26, 2025. This came down about an hour ago. All of the big NFL insiders were all over this, reporting that the NFL is suspending former Ravens kicker Justin Tucker for the first 10 weeks of the upcoming season for violating the league's personal conduct policy. Now, Schefter said a little bit more, since he is not currently with a team. He said Tucker's suspension will take effect on roster cutdown day, August 26, and he will be eligible for reinstatement on Tuesday, November 11. As with any free agent, Tucker may serve his suspension while not being under contract with a team.
I don't think he's ever going to play another NFL game. And I don't even feel like that's a particularly, you know, I call some of these giraffe opinions where you're really sticking your neck out there and could look very foolish. Perhaps Pickett to Pickens is the new Montana to Rice is a classic example of a true giraffe opinion. But I think this is pretty obvious and cut and dried. Who the hell is going to bring him in? I guess maybe if a team got ultra desperate and had very few scruples about that kind of thing, you could look at Tucker if your own kicker was struggling. Justin Tucker himself is on the obvious downside of his career. Like, that was being written about before he even had all these allegations come to light, Don. You know, I think Deshaun Watson, a team was willing to take a chance on him for one reason. He was a quarterback, and to that point, he looked like a quarterback on the rise. People aren't going to make this kind of exception for a kicker. Not one that's coming off one of the worst seasons or worst couple of seasons of his life.
I mean, I think it's without question the worst season he ever just had.
I was getting it crossed up because I think two seasons ago, towards the end of the 2023 season, he started to falter, and then 2024 is when the wheels really started to fall off.
Yeah, so he only made 73% of his kicks last year. He's still the all-time NFL leader in field goal percentage at 89.1. Like, the man was about as close to automatic as you could be. But last year we saw what happened a couple of times against the Steelers. He was only 6-for-11 from beyond 50, where he used to be automatic, basically, inside of 60 yards. He was 5-of-8 from 40 to 49 yards. I mean, this isn't the same guy. Even though he didn't miss any real true chip shots, just clearly, he did miss two extra points, though. Clearly, something happened there. Not the same guy. And, yeah, he's a kicker who, you know, he's in his late 30s. Not that age matters a whole lot for kickers. We've seen guys play well into their 40s.
Vinatieri, Morton Anderson, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, I would think unless there are injuries about for a team, I don't know how many will call.
I just don't. I mean, he made 73% of his kicks. You go through the 2021 season, he made 91% of his field goals at that point. And even though he led the league in both attempts and makes in 2002, Donnie, and he was pretty steady, 86 and 86.5% those seasons, last year drags him down so much that he's almost 10 full percentage points worse. He's 82.7 from 2022 till now. That's just a sign of clear decline. And it's clear decline on, like, kicks that you would normally assume he'd be nails on. It's the 40 to 49 that I think is really stunning. If you looked at him even up through 2023, right? So before last year, if you look at him just on 40 to 49, he made 115 out of 128 over a 12-year period. He missed on average one 40 to 49-yard field goal a season. There are multiple years where he didn't miss one. He went 14 of 14 one year, 4 of 4 in a brief year or a year where he didn't kick many of them, 9 of 9 another time. To go 5 of 8 from that range is brutal. To go 6 of 11 from 50-plus is brutal. To go 7 of 16 your last 2 years from 50-plus is not good. I think he's done, man, and I think he's going to find out. The NFL is not a moral league, first off. We know that if a guy plays an important enough position and is considered important enough, not only will they keep getting chances, they'll get financial rewards for it, like Watson. He's going to find out that even some of the best kickers, once they start to show cracks, are disposable. I mean, that's the bottom line here, and I don't think he ever plays again. And frankly, given the sheer nature of all of these allegations, just like Deshaun Watson, a real creep, like a real big creep. And he was Mr. I'm an opera singer, I'm this Renaissance man. Yeah, real creep. The NFL decided to suspend your ass because they think you're a real freak. And he's done.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you.
Imagine being the team that signs him. Imagine being the team that signs him. Hey, our kicker sucks, so here's what we're going to do is bring back a guy into the fold here that also sucked last year. Oh, and by the way, you wouldn't leave him alone with a female family member? Come on. Not a kicker.
Yeah, the only thing I could even see is a team giving him a tryout, like at some point this season, later in the year, because I mean, no team is going to even consider bringing him in for anything before the suspension is up in early November. Some team out there could have a kicker injury, and we'll see Schefter put out there, so and so bringing in Justin Tucker for a tryout, and they'll probably wait and see what kind of PR backlash they get, even if they want to further pursue it. That's about as close as I think he'd get.
It's funny you bring that up as like a possibility. I'm pretty extreme on this compared to you. I don't even think it's going to get to that point. I don't think teams are going to want to take the PR hit. I mean, Matt Araiza ended up getting a job back in the NFL after ultimately he was cleared in his sexual assault trial? Never even fully got there. He was cleared of any wrongdoing. The Chiefs gave him another chance, but like when the allegations first came out, Donnie, the Bills just cut his ass loose immediately. And I would say that kickers are obviously more valued than punters around the league because they're actually scoring points. But I don't even think a team is going to want to sniff the PR hit of saying we brought him in for a workout. I really don't. Like I think that's it for him, man. Like I will be stunned. Man, stunned's not the right word. I'll be very surprised if you actually hear Justin Tucker's name brought up again in any context other than Adam Schefter putting out a note on November 11th that says, Justin Tucker's suspension is officially over. He is free to seek employment or whatever. Teams are free to sign him, and that he will, or I guess teams are free to sign him now, but he's free to play again after completing his suspension. Like, I really do not believe you will ever see this man on an NFL field again or actually getting a tryout from an NFL team again.
Well, and now here's the other thing you get into. Now, you said a couple of minutes ago the NFL has never really been a moral league. What happens for this man's Hall of Fame case?
Oh, I think this should probably nuke it. I mean, he would have been a Hall of Famer, I would say, if you just looked at the body of work, but wouldn't you say that it, especially since he plays a special teams position, that this would nuke his case? If OJ had somehow, before his Hall of Fame, answer me this hypothetical. If OJ, before his Hall of Fame eligibility had come up, had been involved in what he was involved in, what he was acquitted of,
yes,
of course, and found civilly liable of, would he have gotten into the Hall of Fame, in your opinion?
I would venture to say no.
Like, I would think something approaching an informal morals clause would have kicked in. Don't you think so?
I also wonder, though, like, whatever stopped them from removing him. I mean, I guess that's not really a thing. We've never really seen that. But that was something I've always been curious about with his case. Because, yeah, no doubt the guy was a Hall of Fame player. But if they really wanted to stand on those grounds, couldn't they remove him from their Hall of Fame?
I think that it's like he had been in long enough that it was like, well, what are we going to do? Also, if you remove him after he's technically acquitted of it, you know what I mean? Then he can really go after you and say, a court of law, the highest authority on this subject, found me not guilty. So why are you removing me? Also, I'm going back to something that happened last year on the station on Starkey's show. He had Gary Myers of Sports Illustrated on, and he found out about the NFL Hall of Fame. They told him and they told other voters that they could factor in a player's locker room behavior but not the off-the-field stuff. And the quote from Gary Myers, because this was mainly about T.O., who got in eventually, and then, of course, what, he completely no-showed, did he not? Which I found very funny.
Yeah, I think so.
Myers said, quote, in my mind, the locker room counts now because they told us it does, but if the guy got arrested 25 times but he's a Hall of Fame talent, we've been told not to consider that, end quote. You know what, then? That would tell me that Antonio Brown, everything off the field, throw it out. He's like a slam dunk. But I feel you're dealing with human beings here, so they're going to take some of the stuff, and they'll probably say, well, the locker room stuff was pretty bad. He had the Facebook Live thing. Well, those are venial sins compared to some of the things he's been wrapped up in off the field. If the criminal stuff or anything that would be adjudicated by the courts is not supposed to count, AB should be in easily. I just think Tucker, to be very clear here, wouldn't get in on those grounds because people would just be able to use it as sort of a plausible deniability thing and say, yeah, he was a great kicker, but he was still a kicker. And what if a guy like Boswell ended up supplanting him at the top of the accuracy list?
Then he's got a nice little case.
That's what I mean. So I think because it's so hard for kickers to get in, I kind of know what you're saying. They'd be rocking a hard place here. They'd say, well, are we going to really keep this guy out for this when we're not technically supposed to? I think what he's been accused of and what the NFL found cause to suspend him for is so scummy and like so unseemly that I think that the Hall voters would keep him out. Anyway, interesting discussions, Don, in the debrief. By the way, not for nothing, Shane Baz. Remember our pal Shane Baz?
Oh, yes.
He's only 7-3 going into today's action with a 4-plus ERA, so it's not like he's been setting the world on fire for the Rays this year. He just threw 8 scoreless for the Rays. The Rays, by the way, are already in talks to figure out where they're going to play playoff games if it comes to that. I'm now going to spend this brief commercial break staring off blankly into the distance and just considering pretty much everything.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.